It's great to be here again. It's always great to be here. I love coming to church. It's great to gather in his name to share with one another what he has done for us. Sorry, I'm going to cough, so I'll cover this. I don't want to give you a big loud cough in your ear, but I don't think I did much better anyway. I want to talk to you today about the greatest offering. And so I want to look at Philippians chapter 2. And it says this: is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and compassionate? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one mind and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interests, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he didn't think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave. He was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the highest place of honor, and he gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear, for God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. Do everything without complaining and arguing, so that no one can criticize you. Live clean, innocent lives as children of God. Shine like bright stars in a world full of crooked and perverse people. When I was thinking about what to say, I just felt the Lord was leading me behind the Christmas story, if you like, behind the manger scene and the nativity as we see it every Christmas particularly. And it's easy, if you like, to be caught up in everything that's going on in the Christmas rush. It's so easy to get caught in it. I make all kinds of decisions before Christmas that I'm going to have everything organized, that I'm not going to be rushed, so that every day all you're thinking about is, have I got enough food in? Have I got all the presents I need to get? Did I buy that one? Some think, oh, I haven't done me Christmas cards yet. And it just can consume us so much. I don't spend the time that I really feel God wants me to spend on the greatest offering, God the Father's greatest offering, and God the Son's greatest offering. It says in John 3:16 that God gave the most precious thing he had. That's what he gave to us. It says in Philippians 2 that we've just read that Jesus gave everything he had to come to earth, to show us God's heart. It says in Colossians 1 that Jesus is the exact representation of God. He came to show us what God is like. He came to show us just how much God loved us. I can't begin to imagine the glory of heaven, this place of perfection and joy. I can't really get my head around it. I can't begin to imagine it. I can't imagine the delight that was enjoyed by God the Father, God the Son, and God the Spirit as they brooded over creation and brought it into being. When you look at some of David Attenborough's programs on creation, and you see some of the wonder of it all, I can't imagine how delighted the Father and the Son and the Spirit would have been as they created something that was beautiful. I can't imagine the deep grief as they watched the people that they had made in their own image descend into all kinds of sin. I can't imagine the longing in the heart of God for a relationship with those he had created. I can't imagine it. I can't imagine what went through Jesus' mind when he decided to leave the glory of heaven, to come to earth, to limit himself to a human body. Sometimes I try to imagine that, and I try to imagine it as if I suddenly became an ant. You're susceptible to everything, not only ant powder, but you're being stood on all the time. I just can't imagine, really, what it was like for Jesus to leave all the glory of heaven. I only know this, it was love. The most amazing, selfless love that made him come. The hymn writer put it this way. He says, I cannot tell why he whom angels worship should set his love upon the sons of men, or why, as shepherd, he should seek the wanderers to bring them back. They know not how or when, but this I know, he was born of Mary when Bethlehem's manger was his only home, and that he lived at Nazareth and labored. And so the Saviour, Saviour of the world, is come. The greatest offering. He was the King of Kings, yet he chose to come as a servant. He gave himself no privileges on earth at all. And he subjected himself to those he'd created. That just blows my mind to even think about that, that you make something and then it has a rule over you, the thing that you make. He was treated so unjustly. He was accused unfairly, and he'd killed so cruelly on a cross. And the thing about it all is, he knew it was going to happen before he came. He knew what he was laying aside and what he was coming to before he came. He knew he was going to stand in my place. He knew he was going to take my punishment. That's why he came, so that I might know the God who loves me so much. What an offering. What an offering. I cannot tell how silently he suffered as with his peace he graced this place of tears, or how his heart upon the cross was broken, the crown of pain to 33 years. But this I know, he heals the brokenhearted. He stays our sin and calms our lurking fear. He lifts the burden from the heavy laden. For yet the Saviour, Saviour of the world, is here. Came to bring life in abundance. He came to bring peace in our storms. He came to set captives free. He came to heal. He came to deliver. What an offering. What an amazing offering for each one of us. The question is, how will I respond this Christmas? What offering will I make to him? I'm going to share just a couple of thoughts out of a little book I read at Christmas. I read it last Christmas and this, and it's only a thin book, and I'd recommend it. It's called O Holy Night. No, it isn't. It's called On This Holy Night. And it looks at some of the characters in the Christmas story. For instance, it looks at the wise men. And it says, what if you follow a star and you find a stable? Now, I know theologically the wise men didn't actually come to the stable. They were a little bit behind time, but they came to the humble home where Jesus was living with his parents. What if your expectations have been so high in life? You're expecting something grand and glorious, and at the end of your quest, all you find is a stable. How is your conduct affected by the outcome of your expectations? If things are a disappointment to you in life, if things don't quite go your way, how's your conduct affected? How do you react in those situations? The wise men came looking for a king. They expected a palace. Who wouldn't when you're looking for a king? But they were led to a stable. And we all know there are times in our lives where everything looks promising. We follow something that we think is going to be really good, and then along the path, things go pear-shaped. It's not exactly how we planned it. Things are not what we expected, and they're certainly not what we hoped for. John Maxwell said, strong Christians see God in both the good and the bad. The mature believer sees God not only in pleasures and palaces, but also in the barnyards and the stables of life when things go wrong. When the wise men got to the place where Jesus was in those very humble surroundings, they didn't say, oh gosh, this can't be it. We're looking for a king. They straight away recognized they were in the presence of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. They came to that humble place and they offered their very best. They offered the gold and the frankincense and the myrrh that they had brought to him. What am I offering? What am I offering? When we're faced with setbacks, we often hold back. We don't give anything, let alone our best. We're miserable and let everybody around know it sometimes when we feel that. When you get up each morning, ask yourself, am I giving the very best in the situation I'm in, whether it be a good situation or a bad situation? That's one thing that has struck me this year. Lord, I want to stand and look in the mirror every day and say, am I giving me very best in the situation that I'm in? Am I doing the best? Am I allowing frustration to dictate my behavior? Am I letting myself grumble and complain about things instead of giving the best to the Lord? What am I offering him on a daily basis? What am I offering him? What are you offering him? Are you an extra miler? I learned about extra milers when Eddie was in hospital just a few months ago. And he was in for 3 days. And of course, I stayed with him for all three of those days, every hour of those days, sat in a chair through the night. And, you know, it wasn't my best experience in life. But, you know, I met a couple of extra milers along the way. And when I was just sat in a chair with my head on some kind of pillow at one side, a little face came around, because they put the curtains round the bed of a night, and a little face would come round and say, how are you? Would you like a hot chocolate? Oh, yes, thank you. And so when everybody was quiet, in she came. And then the next morning, 7 o'clock, everybody's still asleep. They haven't woken anybody up yet, and breakfast isn't till about 8. That face appeared again. how are you doing? Are you okay? Shall I get you some toast and some coffee? And in she comes with toast and coffee. What a joy. It was absolutely lovely. The next night, it was different staff. You can make a drink in the staff room if you want. Just help yourself. It wasn't the same. It wasn't the same because I went in the staff room and I couldn't find which I was supposed to do and whatever else. It wasn't the same. Are you an extra miler? Are you one of those people that wants to give your very best? Because God gave his very best for you. What is your response to the greatest offering? What is my response? When the wise men found Jesus, they changed direction. They were told not to go back the same way that they'd came. They changed direction. And I'll tell you this, when you meet Jesus, there needs to be a change in direction. If you've truly met him, there will be a change in direction. There'll be a change in attitude. Change is always necessary. There will be a change in the way we react to others. We learn to love the unlovely. Anybody can love those who are easy to love. But we learn to love the unlovely. We learn to love the awkward and the difficult. We learn to serve them, serve others. That's what Jesus did when he came. That's what he offered. Mother Teresa said this, "If you're kind, people will accuse you of selfish motives. Be kind anyway. If you're successful, you will win both false friends and true enemies. Be successful anyway. What you spend years building, someone may destroy overnight. Build anyway. The good you do today, most people will forget. Do good anyway. Give the world the best that you've got, and it may never be enough. Give your best anyway. In the final analysis, it's between you and God. It was never between you and them anyway." What an incredible thing to say. The wise men gave the best in response to the greatest offering. And I want to just ask, what are you giving? Rick Warren said the only people who enjoyed the first Christmas are the ones who were looking for it. What are you looking for this Christmas? Beyond the presents, the parties, the family time, is that something that excites you? I know I enjoy all of that. Am I also looking for a fresh insight into the greatest offering? The greatest offering. Mary made herself available when God called her to bear his son. Did she fully understand what was about to happen? No. Did she have reservations? Of course. But she said, "I am your servant. May it be to me as you have said." And in that moment, God moved in a miraculous way. And he did something that was impossible and made it very possible. And you know, when we have that kind of attitude to the Lord and say, "I'm your servant. Do to me whatever you've got planned," we make the way open for something miraculous to happen in our lives. Can I say that? Can I say that to the Lord on a daily basis? "Lord, I'm your servant. Let it be to me that you, what you decide today. And I want to give you the best that I have." Surely that's the only response to the greatest offering. Surely Christmas is a time to focus less on tinsel and presents and more on the one who laid aside everything. He laid aside everything that he enjoyed and he made himself nothing. Absolutely nothing, so that I might enjoy the abundance of God and the fullness of his life. 1 Corinthians 13 says this, "Three things will last forever, faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love." I want to tell you, the greatest offering came out of the greatest love. The price Jesus paid to express his love for you and me was absolutely overwhelming. He knew he was going to do it. He knew before he ever came what he was going to face. But his love was overwhelming, and his obedience and his availability to the Father was unconditional. What is my response? What am I offering this Christmas? Love invites you to bear, believe, hope, and endure all things in the same manner in which Christ did it for you. Will that be your offering this Christmas? Will that be your response to the greatest offering of all? Your availability, your absolute best, your love for those around. Will that be mine? I pray that it will, in Jesus' name. Amen.